am not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel means good news, and it is very good news about salvation, messianic salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. And this message alone unleashes the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes the message. First, to the Jewish people, the chosen people, and then to everybody else. Shalom, this is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Well, I have a special guest today, and her name is Shana Moon. Shana means beautiful in Yiddish. Shana is a college student studying digital animation and game design at Ferris State University. Shana is also a young, budding entrepreneur. She is also a second-generation Jew for Jesus, a second-generation Messianic Jew. Shana grew up as part of our synagogue, Congregation Shema Yisrael. Shana, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Hi, Rabbi Lauren. It's great to be here.
And it's great to have you. Well, Shana, give us your story. How did the living God reveal himself to a nice Jewish girl like you that Yeshua, Jesus, is our wonderful Messiah? How has Jesus made you kosher?
Well, as you said, I was actually born to my mom, who's a Jewish Christian, and you had her on your show a couple weeks ago, and that was wonderful. And my dad was raised Presbyterian, and I was really just brought up as a Jewish Christian, but like a lot of people who are raised Christian, you know, I kind of had to find my own identity, and that really started to happen in about fifth or sixth grade because I started getting into my science classes, and they were saying things about Pangea and, you know, evolution and things of that nature, and I remember very distinctly asking my dad, you know, this is different than what the Bible says, and I think my dad had some explanation about Peleg and things dividing, but I really wanted to know more. So I did my own research, and I think that coming to a better scientific understanding of the creation story was really how I kind of became cemented in my Christian faith. And going forward, I had a lot of challenges. I went through the public school system, so it was kind of hard. People were not very receptive to me being a Jewish Christian, but I had really supportive parents, and of course I had the word of the Lord to keep me focused and keep me understanding that it wasn't really me they were angry about, it was God and, you know, cultural things and stuff like that.
Okay.
And just moving forward, I ended up going to a private Christian college for 2 years, and now I'm at a public college. And I really just have to rely on God every day to keep me focused and keep me going. And he's really been an important part of my life for all of my life. I sometimes, you know, some of the stuff I've been through, I've looked at other people and just thought, you know, if I didn't have Christ in my life, I don't know what I would have done. So that's
well, that's interesting. So part of what brought you to deepen your faith and maybe embrace the faith on your own was this whole creation versus evolution argument.
Yes, because when I was young, I was very sort of focused on the truth and what was true, and that was like the most important thing to me. And if something wasn't true, I had to know like every single thing about it.
You have been a very diligent student in a lot of ways. So how did you investigate this creation versus evolution area? Were there certain books that you looked at, websites, movies, DVDs?
Well, I mean, there's so much out there. There's of course, the Perfect Planet DVD series. I personally watched a lot of Kent Hovind's DVDs. He is a pastor down in the panhandle of Florida, kind of a wacky guy at times, but has a lot of really good information, and I think he's someone worth pursuing and listening to. And then another book I read a lot of was The Evolution Cruncher, which is just this big, dense, thick book with all this really great scientific information in it, and it's like $5. And that was a really influential book because I just read that book over and over and over.
It's called The Evolution Cruncher?
Yes. Great title, isn't it?
It's a great title. I don't think I've ever heard of it till now. I love the Institute for Creation Research, ICR, this great organization of scientists who are creationists. They are wonderful. And Ken Ham's ministry, Answers in Genesis. When you said that there is a lot of information out there, you're absolutely right. And you mentioned that great DVD, the Privileged Planet, and also Unlocking the Mystery of Life, that other one in that series. So you're right. The information is there for those who are willing to seek and find.
Absolutely.
Shana, I notice that you are referring to yourself as a Jewish Christian. Do you prefer that over the title or term Messianic Jew or Jew for Jesus? And if you do prefer Jewish Christian, why?
Just because I was always around people who didn't really understand Messianic Judaism. I kind of became accustomed to saying Jewish Christian. The first time that I met somebody who didn't know who did know what a Messianic Jew was in college. So all through high school and middle school, it was always people wouldn't understand. So I would just have to say Jewish Christian.
So as far as for communication purposes, you find that the term Jewish Christian communicates better than Messianic Jew?
Yeah.
Or even Jew for Jesus?
Jew for Jesus? I don't know. That doesn't really roll off the tongue for me.
Okay. Well, you grew up at Congregation Shema Yisrael. Do you have a favorite memory from growing up in the synagogue, something you learned, something you did, your bat mitzvah, favorite memory?
Oh, gosh. Probably the Sukkot celebrations. That was just, I mean, because that was such a Jewish thing. And when I was younger, when I was in that sort of public school experience, there was a lot of, like, questioning of my Jewishness. So being involved in that Sukkot thing felt like just building the sukkah and being involved in this very lively celebration of what God's given to us, that just felt very right and very Jewish, and it gave me a really good sense of belonging. So those are probably some of the fondest.
Celebrating the Jewish holidays like Passover and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and you highlighted Sukkot, the holiday of tabernacles when we build the sukkah booth, the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Excellent. Shane, a lot of people who are part of your generation who are growing up in good, solid evangelical churches and good messianic synagogues like ours, a lot of your generation are not continuing to follow the Lord, especially when they go to college and beyond. We're losing a lot of your generation, but you are definitely following the Lord, and I want to commend you for that, and I'm really proud of you. What makes you different from so many of your generation who are not going on to follow the Lord?
It's a really difficult thing to really kind of quantify, but I think that the thing with me was always that I understood that there was sort of, I think that a lot of people my age don't understand that there's evil in the world. And when you go off to college, you're around all these young people who are kind of just as idealistic as you. And you get into this mode where you meet all these other people who are kind of living different lives and have different religions. And you see that they're basically good people. And it really kind of skews your perception of the world because you get into this kind of academic bubble. I think that when I was at that private Christian college, that was really bad because people just took it for granted, you know. They just assumed that just because people were there, that meant they were good. And they just kind of said, well, I'm a Christian and that person's not a Christian, but they seem like a good person, so maybe my Christianity doesn't really matter as much. So I think the really important thing is that somehow people need to be more grounded when they're in that academic setting. You need to stay aware, and you need to stay awake, stay connected with your home church, and you really need to understand that this bubble that you're living in is not going to last forever, you know. And
okay.
I think that that's really dangerous.
Then what's dangerous? Being in a Christian cocoon?
Yes. I mean, I spent all those years in the public school, and finally I'm going to a Christian college, and it's going to be so great. And, you know, the first couple months were fantastic because I could talk about God in my classes and not feel like I was going to be harassed for it. But I really feel like it was this sort of sheltered life. And when you're in that situation, you really start to take Christianity for granted, and you start to think, oh, well, people with other faiths probably think the same way we do. We've just been so judgmental, and, you know, that line of thinking. And I think that that's what happens.
How Christian was your Christian college experience?
It was very Christian. I mean, they had chapel 3 times a week. There was discussion of God and Jesus in classes. But it was very shallow. I don't think I ever heard them talk about hell or the fallacy of other religions. I think they just wanted to talk about the nice things.
Well, I think that's typical of much of evangelical Christianity in the United States today. I was listening yesterday to Fox News Sunday, and Chris Wallace, this Jewish guy who is the head interviewer, was interviewing the Osteens, this pastoral couple,
yes,
Joel Osteen and his wife Victoria. They have the largest church in the United States. And I was listening to this interview, and to me, his answers to Chris Wallace were so shallow and so simplistic and so de-emphasizing the depravity of man, the sinfulness of man, the lostness of man, our desperate need for a savior. So what I'm saying is I think that is endemic in much of evangelical Christianity today. We have in our desire to be tolerant, we have overdone this tolerance thing and basically consider, you know, we don't want to offend anyone, so we de-emphasize the doctrine of the total depravity of man, that sin is real and has affected every aspect of who we are as human beings, our mind, our emotions, our will, our sexuality, our relationship to God, our relationship to one another, you know, where we're headed to hell, not to heaven. Your
Absolutely.
Response?
I mean, yeah, that's exactly my feeling. And I remember very distinctly that there was a professor who was a Muslim at the school. And I remember saying to someone, you know, has there ever been any kind of effort to, like, bring this man to Christ? And that was, like, so wrong, you know, because that was his religion and that was important to him. So there was no question. Like, we absolutely could not, you know, press that. And that was the moment I remember thinking, something's not right here.
So let me get this right. You grew up here in the Metro Detroit area and you attended regular public school. And you were kind of persecuted a little bit because you were a Jewish Christian, a Messianic Jew, and you were vocal for your faith, and you had to struggle. And then you went to Christian college, and no one is struggling. And in a sense, it was more difficult for you in Christian college.
Yeah, I mean, it was the thing about the Christian college was it was more disappointing. Because I expected people to be as, like, exciting and, you know, I guess I had been tested and hardened by all this adversity, and I got into this situation, and there were all these people who had never really been challenged about their faith and didn't really appreciate it. So it was disappointing, and it was disheartening.
You know, there are advantages to growing up in a tough environment. Persecution, trials, They toughen us. They harden us. Moshe Rosen, I think it was, used to say that every knock is, a bounce in the right direction.
Absolutely. And I see that now.
Okay.
But I don't want to, make it out like these people were bad people. They just were a little bit milquetoast.
I understand. You mentioned the problem of mainstreaming Christianity. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think what we were talking about before, just that general idea that we have to kind of make ourselves seem like we're not those crazy Christians over there. We're the nice Christians. We're the normal Christians. That attitude is I think that attitude is becoming more and more popular where we're saying, we're not those crazy evangelical Christians. We're normal Christians. We're like you. And we shouldn't be like the people around us.
So when you talk about the problem of mainstreaming Christianity, you're talking about the problem of wanting to be acceptable to the world.
Yes.
Not wanting to rock the boat, not wanting to be a radical disciple.
Yes. And I think, people will be like, oh, I just went on this mission trip and it was so fabulous. We helped all these people, da, 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 da. And you'll be like, well, did you talk to them about Jesus? And no. And to me, that's not a mission trip,
Well, good deeds are important, but good deeds need to be mixed with good words.
Exactly.
They both need to be reinforcing one another. Shanna, what's your favorite thing about God the Father?
Oh, gosh, there's so many things, but you do a sermon about the complexity of our universe, and I think that's the big thing. I'm an artist, and the fact that God made this whole universe and made it so complex and made it so unbelievably, unfathomably vast and beautiful, and then not only that, but he gives us the capacity to also create, I think that is probably the most magnificent thing.
So you really appreciate God's creative power and his wisdom that went into the creation of this magnificent universe.
Absolutely.
I like that. That's one of my favorite things about God, too. What's one of your favorite things about Messiah, the Son of God?
That he went through the same temptations that we did. That really makes him fully man and fully God. The fact that he had all these opportunities to really fall just like a man does, and he didn't. The fact that he can identify with us, I think, makes him so relatable and so powerful.
That's great. That is wonderful about the Son. He's the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man, our sympathetic high priest who understands us from the inside out. What is your favorite thing about the Holy Spirit? What do you like most, appreciate most about the Ruach, the Spirit of God?
Well, to me, the Holy Spirit is kind of that voice that you have, and that not your conscious, because your conscious can be wrong, but the Holy Spirit is that voice that says, you're going to talk to somebody about God today, and I'm going to be there to help you. And just having that support, the support is, that's really important, because God says that he's not going to give you any trials that you're not going to be able to face without him, and that Holy Spirit is that power that he gives you.
So the idea that the Holy Spirit is with you and that he's empowering you and guiding you?
Yes.
That's great. What's your favorite book of the Bible?
James.
Book of James, Yaakov, Jacob, who is the half-brother of our Lord Jesus. Why is James your favorite book of the Bible?
Just because he is very blunt and says, faith without works is dead, and you can't just say, I have faith. You have to go out and you have to profess your faith and you have to act on your faith. And he also talks about going through trials and tribulations and letting that harden you. So I identified with that very quickly, very early on.
The book of James. What's your favorite verse in the Bible?
Probably in James, not very specific, but just sort of the first the first book of James where he's talking about going through trials?
The whole idea of that we are going to go through trials, but they have a beneficial effect?
Yes.
What in particular about trials in James 1?
Well, just because I went through so much and I just identified with that and realizing that other Christians are going through exactly the same thing that you're going through. And even that they went through the exact same things 2,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Tell us one divine appointment or encounter in your life in which you really sensed that God was real, that God was there. Has anything like that happened to you?
I think so. I mean, I'm thinking mostly of the stuff that I've done for Right to Life, because we have done things where, you know, we're standing across on the side of the road and people are coming by. And I think that, I mean, it might seem a little bit extreme, but I think that it really takes protection from God on those days, because you know that there are people who would really like to shut us up when we're advocating for the unborn. So I always feel that sense of protection whenever I'm doing anything for Jesus. I mean, for Right to Life.
Okay. When you say...
And Jews for Jesus, because when you are talking about Christ to Jewish people, there are a lot of Jewish people who really want to shut you up. And, you know, whenever you're in that situation, there is protection that is happening, I believe.
So when you've been out there on the streets trying to represent the pro-life movement, maybe on did you go out on one of our encounters on Woodward when we were with signs? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of specifically, because I remember we're standing right next to the road, and I'm thinking somebody who's upset with us can really just come over and drive over us. But it doesn't happen, and that's a miracle.
So you've sensed God's presence or reality when you are out there serving him with a little bit of risk, a little bit of danger. That's when you sense God's reality the most. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay. What would you say to a Jewish person who's listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher today?
There is so much that they don't tell you in synagogue. There's so much that they don't teach you in Hebrew classes. And you can read books of the Old Testament in Isaiah that sound like they're out of the New Testament, and they're talking about Christ, and Christ is your Savior, and you need him. Your Jewishness is not going to save you, and your Jewishness does not make you better than any other person on the earth. You need Christ just as much as anyone. Become educated in the Old Testament, understand the prophecies, and get Christ into your life, because you need him.
Well said, especially the prophecy in Isaiah 53. And it's so clear that Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant is this amazing prediction written 700 years before Jesus the Messiah came. It's like, Shana, it is like reading the New Testament, Isaiah 53, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Shana, you've been great today. Thank you so much for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher. Just one or two last sentences. What would you say to a Christian who may be listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher and has a Jewish friend?
Don't sugarcoat it. Your Jewish friend needs Christ just as much as any non-believer. Don't be afraid. Yeah, they might reject you a little bit because, you know, Jews aren't supposed to believe in Jesus, but God is going to help you. If their heart is open, it's going to be the same as if it was a Gentile you were preaching to. Someone being Jewish is no excuse to back down from preaching the gospel to them.
Shana, I want to commend you for your faith and your zeal for the Lord, your obvious passion for God and his word and for evangelism. I just want you to know that I'm really proud of you.
Thanks very much.
And this is Rabbi Lauren. You've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. I hope you'll come back tomorrow at the same time and join me and Rabbi Glenn as we continue to discuss the Jewish roots of the Christian faith.
If Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.